All right, so I have a question for you. Have you ever worked for free?
I mean, define free.
Like, I've helped friends move. I've fixed my mom's Wi-Fi. I once spent an entire weekend building a website for a guy who paid me in, quote, future equity.
And how'd that future equity work out?
The company no longer exists, so I guess I own a percentage of nothing, which is still nothing.
Beautiful. Well, today we're talking about how that exact dynamic, work now, get paid in promises, became the foundation of an entire economy. We're talking about unpaid internships, the exposure economy, and how free labor went from a medieval tradition to a modern institution worth billions.
Billions in unpaid labor. That feels like it should be illegal.
Parts of it are, parts of it aren't. The line is genuinely blurry, and the history of how we got here is wild. So let's start at the beginning. And I mean the actual beginning. Medieval Europe. The guild system.
Oh, we're going way back.
Way back, so in the 11th through 13th centuries, if you wanted to become a blacksmith, a baker, a weaver, whatever, you didn't just apply for a job, you entered a guild, and guilds had a rigid three-tier progression system. Apprentice, journeyman, master, no skipping levels.
Okay, this already sounds like an MMO.
It literally is. This is the guild reputation grind. Think about how it works in Final Fantasy Roman 14 or World of Warcraft. You join a guild, right, and at the bottom, you're nobody. You don't get access to the good raids. You don't get loot priority. You can't use the guild bank. You just show up, do grunt work, and slowly, over weeks, months, you raise your reputation.
And the guild benefits from your labor the entire time.
Exactly. The guild is getting your DPS in raids, your materials, your time, and you're getting the promise that eventually, if you grind long enough, you'll rank up and get access to the good stuff. That's the medieval apprenticeship system. A teenager, we're talking 13, 14 years old, would move into a master craftsman's house and work for 7 to 10 years. No wages, no marriage allowed, no independence. The exchange was labor for training, food, lodging, and the eventual right to practice the trade.
7 to 10 years of grinding with no pay. That's not an internship. That's indentured servitude with a skill tree.
And here's the thing. The word masterpiece, that's not a metaphor, it's literally from the system. When a journeyman wanted to become a master, they had to produce a single work of such quality that the guild elders would accept it as proof of mastery. That was your masterpiece, your final exam.
So the capstone project has been around for 800 years. Grad students everywhere just felt a chill, and they don't know why.
The guild system eventually collapsed with the Industrial Revolution. Factories didn't need 7-year apprenticeships. They needed bodies on the line. But the pattern stuck around. This idea that you earn your way in through free labor, it just kept changing.
Okay, so when does the modern internship show up?
So the word internship originally only applied to medicine, doctors doing supervised clinical rotations. It didn't generalize to other fields until the mid-20th century. But the legal foundation, this is the important part, comes from 1947, a Supreme Court case called Walling v. Portland Terminal Company.
Sounds thrilling.
It's actually kind of fascinating in a horrible way. A railway company was training brakemen for about a week. The trainees sued for wages, and the Supreme Court said no, because the trainees were, quote, more hindrance than help. The company derived no immediate advantage from their work.
Wait, so the legal basis for every unpaid internship in America is a 1947 case about guys who were bad at being brakemen?
For 68 years, yes, the Department of Labor built a six-factor test on top of that ruling. And the key factor was, if the employer gets no immediate advantage from the intern's work, they don't have to pay. Which, you know, in practice.
In practice, every employer just says, "Oh no, our interns are definitely learning, not working," while handing them a stack of actual work.
Right, and this is where I want to bring in our second metaphor, because the power dynamic here isn't just a grind, it's a fae bargain.
Oh, like actual fairy folklore, the fae.
Celtic and European folklore. You know how fae bargains work in the old stories. A powerful, immortal being approaches a mortal and offers a deal. Work in my court for 7 years, and I'll grant you a gift. Sounds reasonable, right? But fae bargains are famous for their loopholes. The terms are technically fulfilled, but the spirit of the deal is completely violated. You ask for gold, you get gold, but it turns to leaves at sunrise.
So the internship is the fae bargain. Work for us for a summer, and we'll give you experience.
But nobody defines experience. You might get mentorship, real projects, meaningful connections, or you might get 3 months of filing papers and fetching coffee. Both technically qualify as experience. The Fae kept their word. You just didn't read the fine print.
And the power asymmetry is the same. You can't negotiate with the Fae. They set the terms.
Exactly. A 20-year-old college student is not negotiating with Condé Nast or Goldman Sachs. You accept the terms or you walk away. And walking away means someone else takes your spot. There's always another mortal willing to enter the fairy ring.
Okay, so we've got the guild grind and the Fae bargain running in parallel. When does this thing explode?
The 1970s is when internships start spreading beyond medicine and a few white-collar fields. College enrollment surges, the job market tightens, and internships become this pressure valve. Can get a job, get an internship, get experience. By 1992, about 17% of college students had done an internship. By 2008, it was 50%.
That's a massive jump.
And 2008 is the accelerant. The financial crisis hits. Companies freeze hiring, lay off entry-level workers, and discover they can replace them with unpaid interns doing the exact same work. Why pay someone $40,000 when a college junior will do it for a resume line and a letter of recommendation?
That's the most cynical thing I've heard today, and we're barely 6 minutes in.
It gets worse. Here's where the class dynamics kick in. Students are paying $6,000 to $7,000 in living expenses just to work for free. Which means the only people who can afford unpaid internships are people who already have money.
So the guild grind has a pay-to-play tier.
It's the tutorial that never ends. This is our third metaphor. Think about any video game with a long, forced tutorial section. You can't access the real game, the open world, the good quests, the actual content, until you finish the tutorial. And for a lot of people, the unpaid internship is that tutorial. Except some players start the game with a new game plus save file. Family wealth, connections, parents who can cover rent in New York or DC. They skip the tutorial entirely. They're already in the open world while you're still learning how to move the camera.
And the White House internship program, the most prestigious internship in America, was unpaid until 2022.
2022. Meaning, for decades, the pipeline to the most powerful office in the world required you to work in one of the most expensive cities in the country. For $0. That's not a meritocracy. That's a wealth check disguised as an opportunity.
It's an item level requirement, but for your parents' bank account.
The numbers are brutal. 39% of US internships are still unpaid. That's about 1.6 million people. 81% of unpaid interns are women. First generation college students take unpaid internships to 52% compared to 39% for non-first gen. And here is the kicker. The median white family has 41 times more wealth than the median black family. So when you say, just take an unpaid internship for the summer, you're saying something radically different depending on who you're talking to.
That's the Fae bargain again. The deal sounds the same for everyone, but the cost is completely different depending on what you're bringing to the table.
Exactly. Same words, different price. And the data shows that paid interns are 32% more likely to give full-time job offers and earn $15,000 more per year than people who never interned at all. So the system actively rewards the people who could afford to play for free and punishes the people who couldn't.
This is basically the guild grind with a cash shop. Pay real money, skip the reputation grind, get better loot.
Ross Perlin, who wrote the book Intern Nation, estimated that organizations save about $2 billion a year by not paying interns minimum wage. 2 billion. That's not a gap in the system. That's a feature.
Okay, so does anyone fight back? Does the guild revolt?
They do. And this is my favorite part. In 2011, two unpaid interns on the set of Black Swan, the Natalie Portman movie that grossed $300 million, sued Fox Searchlight. They'd been doing work that would normally require paid employees. A judge agreed.
Wait, the $300 million movie couldn't pay its interns.
Wouldn't, not couldn't. And that lawsuit opened the floodgates. Remember how we talked about dependency chains in episode 85? One package gets compromised and the whole supply chain falls? Same thing happened here, but in reverse. One lawsuit broke the legal logic, and suddenly everyone started filing. Condé Nast, NBC Universal, $6.4 million settlement. Viacom, Lionsgate, Sony, Warner Music Group, domino after domino.
What did Condé Nast do?
They run Vogue, GQ, The New Yorker.
This is the best part. When the lawsuits forced them to start paying interns, they just eliminated the internship program entirely.
They rage quit.
They rage quit. Rather than pay people, they flip the table. If we can't have free labor, we don't want labor at all.
That tells you everything about what the internship was actually for.
It really does. And in 2015, the legal standard finally changed. The old six-factor test from 1947 got replaced with the primary beneficiary test. The question is now, who benefits more, the intern or the employer? If the employer benefits more, they have to pay.
Which sounds reasonable, but I'm guessing there's a catch.
The catch is enforcement. Several states have tightened regulations. California, New York, Oregon. But actually enforcing these rules is another story. And the nonprofit and government sector is the worst offender, with nearly 40% of positions being unpaid. They hide behind the mission. We're saving the world. We can't afford to pay you.
The passion trap.
That's exactly what researchers call it. Industries that frame work as a calling. Fashion, journalism, nonprofits, music, game, development, are consistently the worst at paying entry-level workers. 86% of creative industry internships are unpaid or below minimum wage. In London, 48% of fashion internships pay nothing.
So passion is the spell that makes people accept the fair bargain.
It's the flavor text on the contract. You're not working for free, you're pursuing your dream. And it filters out everyone who can't afford to dream on an empty wallet. Only 16% of creative industry workers come from working class backgrounds. That's not a coincidence. That's the tutorial pay while doing its job.
This reminds me of what we talked about in the consulting episode, episode 107, the Golden Pyramid. Junior analysts doing 80-hour weeks for the prestige and the exit opportunities.
It's the same structure scaled up. Consulting firms, law firms, investment banks, they all run the guild grind. Extract maximum labor from the bottom tier, justify it with the promise of advancement, and make the brand so prestigious that people compete to give away their labor. The leveraged pyramid is the internship economy, just with better suits.
So where does this go? Like, does AI kill unpaid internships?
That's the million-dollar question. We talked in episode 148 about how AI coding assistants are already choosing your tech stack, dealing you a starter deck before you even know the rules. If AI automates the entry-level tasks that interns used to do, what's the internship even for?
The tutorial becomes irrelevant because the game changed.
Maybe, or maybe companies find new things for unpaid interns to do. The tasks AI can't handle yet. The grind adapts. It always has. Guilds became apprenticeships, became internships, became the gig economy. The structure survives even when the context changes completely.
It's like a raid boss that keeps coming back with a different moveset.
And the gig economy is the latest evolution. By 2027, over 50% of the US workforce will be gig workers, and the line between flexible opportunity and unpaid labor with extra steps is genuinely hard to see sometimes. You're technically independent, technically choosing your hours, technically building your brand, but you're also technically not getting benefits, not getting stability, and not getting paid for all the invisible work that makes the visible work possible.
So what do we do about it? Is there an answer?
I think awareness is step one. Know what the fair bargain actually costs before you sign it. The primary beneficiary test exists. If you're doing work that a paid employee would otherwise do, you should be getting paid, period. Some companies are genuinely investing in interns, structured mentorship, real projects, fair compensation. Those exist. But you have to know the difference between a guild that trains its apprentices and a guild that just wants free grinding.
Read the contract.
Count the loopholes.
Don't let the fairy gold fool you.
And if you're on the employer side, if you're the one designing internship programs, remember that the masterpiece tradition worked because there was a genuine exchange. The apprentice gave labor, the master gave a trade. If your intern walks away with nothing but a line on their resume and a vague sense of disillusionment, that's not an internship. That's a fair bargain. And eventually, the mortals figure it out.
They always do. Just ask Fox Searchlight.
So next time you see a job posting that says unpaid but great experience, remember, that sentence has 800 years of history behind it. The guild grind never ended. It just got a LinkedIn profile.
And shinier armor. The unpaid intern armor set. Zero stats, but it looks professional.
Cosmetic only. No buffs.
Okay, so what's next? Where do we go from here?
I want to pull on the thread we touched at the end there, the gig economy, because we talked about how unpaid labor shapeshifts across centuries, right? Guilds to apprenticeships to internships. The next four might be the most interesting one yet. I want to do an episode on how gig platforms, Uber, DoorDash, Fiverr, all of them, engineered a system where millions of people are technically self-employed but functionally work for a single company with none of the protections. The algorithm is the new guild master, and it doesn't even pretend to teach you a trade.
The algorithm guild master.
I already hate it. I'm in.
That's next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in the next one.
Don't grind for free, or at least know what it's costing you. Later.